Wimp, taxi, dupe, sucker. These are some of the adjectives that have been applied to Christians over the years, in large measure because of today's reading from Matthew. This portion of the Sermon on the Mount has some of the most famous phrases from the New Testament. Who here hasn't had or heard reference to turning the other cheek or going the extra mile? But is that what Jesus wants for us? Does he want us to be patsies, doormats, people who roll over and give in? Not quite. As is often the case, there's something more going on here in the text. And if we understand these particular references, we see that Jesus is calling us in a different direction. Think about turning the other cheek. What Jesus has described about the first strike is a backhand. So something that somebody would do to a person of a lower social status. He's saying turn the other cheek to them. He's inviting you to tell the other person, if you want to strike me again, you're going to have to do it as my equal. That's kind of provocative, isn't it? And what about going the extra mile? Well, back in the ancient world, soldiers could compel civilians to carry their burden for them. We have a famous example of this later in the New Testament when Simon of Cyrene is forced to bear the cross for Jesus. Now, the Romans were happy to exploit and oppress their subject people, but they weren't looking for insurrections. So they knew there had to be limits. And the rule in the Roman army was that you could compel a civilian to carry something for a mile. When you think about it, that's not too onerous for the Romans, because then they could just find somebody else. But what happens if the person being asked to carry the load says, I'll go further for you? That person is taking some authority to himself or herself, saying, I own the situation, I can do something for you. And all of a sudden, that soldier is put in a difficult situation. He's not expecting it. And what if he decides to take up the offer and then is found out by his commanding officer? He could get into trouble. We have another provocative act here. Then we have Jesus talking about what we should do when people come to us looking for alms or for a loan. Don't look at your checkbook, he says. Don't total up what your bills are. Just give it to them. Don't ask any questions. Give it away. Well, this is property. So what's going on here? Well, there's a common thread throughout this. And it's not a call to subservience, but instead to subversion. Now, when we hear about subversion, we often might think about it in political terms, of people who are trying to undermine the government, of traitors and spies. Maybe some people here think back to the 60s of hippies and sticking it to the man or living off the grid. But the kind of subversion that Jesus is looking for is far more profound. And it goes much deeper. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' inaugural address. He is laying out his agenda here, and he is telling the disciples, and he's telling the crowd, and he's telling you and me that the kingdom of heaven is here now. It has arrived, and things are different. The kingdom of heaven turns everything upside down. It turns it inside out. The kingdom of heaven, in other words, is subversive. And if we are going to live in the kingdom, we too need to be subversive. okay, maybe we can turn a cheek or go the extra mile. Maybe we can be subversive, live into the kingdom. Jesus has just warmed us up now. Now he gets to the heart of his message. Now he gets to the truly difficult part, where he tells us, you've heard that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Well, we all know that even doing that can be a bit of a challenge. But for Jesus, that's child play. What he wants us to do is to love our enemies as we love ourselves. Think about that. Love our enemies as we love ourselves. Now, perhaps we can say, yes, we can do this. We can look at it intellectually. We can look at history. We can think of times when adversaries have been reconciled to one another. Think about our country and Britain, now our closest ally. We fought two wars with them. Think about Germany and Japan, among our closest friends and trading partners. We fought World War II with them. But that's all abstract. That's all history, and there's politics involved, and geostrategic forces, things that don't affect us on a daily basis, right? So think about my late father then. Now my dad was a proud son of Rochester, New York. Grew up there, left home to go to college, and then he went back to help his dad run some of the family business. He had a good life. And then on December 7th, 1941, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. The next morning, my dad and one of his friends were the first two people to show up at the recruiting station in Rochester to join the Army. My dad spent 4 years in uniform, and he was an officer in the Pacific. The Japanese were his enemy. His life had been upended, and he, along with millions of others, were involved in this titanic struggle. But just a few short years after the war was done, when he decided he wanted to start a business of his own, and go into import-export, he decided that Japan was going to be one of the markets he would enter. Now, my dad had a tremendous gift for languages. So he decided to learn Japanese. Not many Americans speak Japanese today, and even fewer spoke it back then. But he did this for two reasons. The first was, it was just a good business move. It would give him an edge. But he also learned something about Japan and its culture, and he knew that it was a sign of respect, and it would be reaching out and building a bridge. He made a choice. He was going to set aside the feelings and the acrimony of the war to look to the future. And the people he met in Japan did the same. People began as vendors or suppliers. They became colleagues and acquaintances. And finally, they became friends. A choice was made. You will not be my enemy. No one decided to focus on who was right and who was wrong. Choice was made to live into the future. That is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. It is living into God's future, the one that he's creating for us. Not always easy, but it's what God wants. Jesus doesn't want us to be suckers. Jesus doesn't want us to roll over. But Jesus does want us to actively engage with one another. To try to change our perspective and change the perspectives of other people. Jesus reminds us that each and every one of us is a child of God. Think about that. Each and every person in this room, each and every person in Lebanon, each and every person around the world is a child of God. I don't know about you, but I've been watching the Olympics over the last couple of weeks. And maybe it makes me a bad American, but I've not always rooted for our people to win every competition I've watched. I've been able to focus on the athletes as athletes. They're children of God. Whether they're from Russia, or China, or Ukraine, or Venezuela, or Britain, or France, or Mexico. These are things we say in church, particularly in the mainline church, all the time. But it's one thing to say them, and it's another for us to live them. We need to love our enemies as we love ourselves. Jesus wants this for us because he wants us to be able to live in the kingdom. Because he wants us to be able to move forward together into God's new creation. All Jesus asks us to do is to be perfect, like the Father. I don't know about you, but remember those "What Would Jesus Do" bracelets that were popular a few years ago? I wondered, how am I supposed to do what Jesus did? I'm not up to that standard. And now Jesus is telling me to be perfect like God? I can't do that. But then I remember that being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus, means following away. Not articulating a set of beliefs, but doing something. I can say I can't be perfect and not try, and then I can guarantee you I will not be perfect. Or I can try. And I may fail, but I can try. And I remember that the Christian life is not about the destination. Because we're all going to get there at some point or another. It's about the journey and how we travel together. So, turn the other cheek. Walk the extra mile. Someone comes to you for a loan. Empty out your pockets. Be subversive. Be a disciple. See what happens.